Purport. Action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accord with the examples of previous bona fide devotees. This is recommended in the 15th verse. Why such action should not be independent will be explained in the text to follow. To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in a line of disciplic succession, as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first narrated to the sun god. The sun god explained it to his son Manu. Manu explained it to his son
Ikshvaku.
Very good. Ikshvaku. And the system is current on this earth from that very remote time. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard actions of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered. It is said that one cannot ascertain the ways of religion simply by imperfect experimental knowledge. Actually, the principles of religion can only be laid down by the Lord Himself. Dharmang tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. No one can manufacture a religious principle by imperfect speculation. One must follow in the footsteps of great authorities like Brahma, Shiva, Narad, Manu, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlad, Bhishma, Shukdev Goswami, Yamaraj, Janak and Bali Maharaj. By mental speculation one cannot ascertain what is religion or self-realization. Therefore, out of causeless mercy to his devotees, the Lord explains directly to Arjuna what action is and what inaction is. Only action performed in Krishna consciousness can deliver a person from the entanglement of material existence. Kim karma kim akarma iti kaviopi atra mohitaha tatte karma parakshami yajgyat va mokshase shubhat. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. Each verse of Bhagavad Gita can be understood as it is. That means each verse has some particular important meaning, but it's best to understand also in the context of all the other verses. Just like we often find that people like to quote kamanevadhikaraste mafaleshu kadarchana, that you have a right to do your work, but this they say to justify working, that I'm just working, so I'm working, this is what Krishna says, I should work, you have a right to work, but how that work should be done, for what purpose, that we understand from the rest of Bhagavad Gita. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna establishes bhakti, pure devotional service to himself, as the only auspicious path, as is specifically mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shriyashriting bhakti muddasyate vipo klishanti kevalam bodha labdhaye. That those who give up the path of bhakti, those who consider any other path ultimately auspicious, they're wrong, because bhakti is the actual, it is both the path and the goal for every jiva. Now Arjuna, he asked Krishna He didn't ask Krishna about bhakti. He asked Krishna about karma. What should I do? What is my duty? How to act? He asked about his karma, and for a person like Arjuna, karma is inseparable from dharma. He wanted to know how to act in accord with dharma. And he was also thinking of what he considered to be akarma, of not performing the action, his swakarma, that he was expected to do, namely to fight. Now, Krishna began this chapter by describing how transcendental knowledge was given by him to Vivasvan, and how this was passed down, this knowledge was passed down in disciplic succession. And he was just talking about this, and Arjuna interrupted, "Wait a minute. Katame tan vijani yam tam ado proktavaniti." How is that possible? I mean, you're just the same age as me. So how did you speak to the sun god so long ago? So it's a very good interruption by Arjuna, because then Krishna explained what is his transcendental nature, why he comes to this world, and what is the basic difference between him and the jiva. So it's a very good diversion. Now Krishna is coming back to the point, what is that knowledge that he's speaking, that is handed down in disciplic succession. Now Krishna spoke, that means, what did he speak? He gave knowledge. Generally it's considered that the paths of jnana and karma are different. It's generally considered like that. But karma executed without jnana is just like that of the animals. The donkeys also work. And as Krishna repeatedly states throughout Bhagavad Gita, jnana without karma, that is also not desirable, because jnana means we should learn what is correct and then practically apply that. Just like doctors. You get knowledge and you're supposed to apply it. Otherwise, what's the point? So, Krishna has emphasized the point that this knowledge has to be received through disciplic succession. And how are we to practically understand that? That many great persons in the past acted according to this knowledge and thus achieved the perfection of life. They demonstrated that to us practically how we should act. But here Krishna is pointing out that it's not such an easy thing to understand. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavyo piyatramohitaha. That even persons who are learned in Vedic knowledge and who are respected as jnanis, they may also be bewildered as to what is karma and what is akarma. Now, these words, karma and akarma, they can be understood in many ways according to context. What is action and what is action, inaction? Now Krishna says, tat te karma pravakshami yaj gyatva mokshase shubhat. Many persons, even learned persons, they are bewildered. They don't properly understand. Even though they're learned and they may think they understand, they have book knowledge, but they don't really know what is actually karma and what is akarma. Now Krishna says, I shall explain to you. what I explain to you, if you listen attentively, then you will be liberated from all inauspiciousness if we hear from Krishna. Now all of these words, there's each word is a universe in itself. If we're doing, what does it mean to hear from Krishna? So many people are hearing from Krishna. So many people are studying Bhagavad Gita. The famous one famous guru in India, popular among the Marwaris, this Ram Sugdasji Maharaj. He trains his disciples in Gita Pat. So he'll tell them Chaturtho Dhyay, and they'll say it. And then he'll tell them, say it backwards, and they'll say all the verses backwards also. They know the verses very well. They don't know anything about what it means, but they think they do. That's the problem, because they haven't heard properly from Krishna. So when we say to Krishna says, I will speak to you. If we can hear properly, yad gyat vaha mokshise shubhat, by knowing which we will be released from all inauspiciousness. But how can we know? Even hearing doesn't necessarily mean that we learn. And even learning doesn't necessarily mean that we actually understand. But if we can hear properly from Krishna, as Arjuna did, then we can learn how to act, how not to act, in such a way that will be for our benefit. So this is very important, as Krishna states here, that we have to act. Arjuna was under the illusion, I will stop all activity. I see activity is the cause of so much difficulty. I will stop all activity. But Krishna told you, you can't stop acting, even for a moment. What's that verse?
He doesn't know that one.
Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishchati karma krit. We have to do something. Now, everything we do, as has been ascertained by Sir Isaac Newton, wasn't it, on the platform of energy, that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So every action has some reaction. That's true on the karmic plane also. Everything we do has some result. Everything we do. So it's very important to learn how to act in a manner that will be beneficial for us and for others. Because if we don't know, then we're going to get into trouble. If we don't know how to act properly. And that actually, knowing how to act properly and not knowing and acting accordingly, that is what separates devotees from demons. Pravritin cha, nivritin cha, janana vidur asuraha. What is proper action, or what is action that is prescribed, and what is action that is proscribed? What is the difference? Those who do not know this, they are called asura, or demons. Therefore, Nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukham naparamgatim. Due to lack of this knowledge, they cannot attain perfection or happiness or the supreme goal of life. So how much important it is to know what is proper action and what is not, what is to be done and what is not to be done. Or even if we know, but we don't act according to that, then we're still demons. Because that's called acting according to whim. We can know, how can we know? Through Shastra. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. That is recorded as Shastra. Ya Shastra Vidya Mutsrija Vartate Kama Karata. How's that verse going? I've said it so many times.
Oh, you're thinking of Yashastra, Arjuna's question?
Yashastra Vidimutsricha.
Yajante.
No. Vartate Kamakarata.
17:1.
No, it's the end of the 16th chapter. Yashastra Vidimutsricha. Vartate Kamakarata.
Siddhavanati
Nasukam Naparambita. Yeah,
I thought you know what 17:1 is similar.
I was getting, I mixed that up previously. Na vichar charo. Na satyam teshu vidyate. Let's get our verses right here. See, I'm saying how we should know Shastra. I should also know Shastra. Na shocham na apichacharam na satyam teshu vidyate. Yes. Those who do not know what is to be done and what is not known, neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Yes, so if those who reject Shastric principles and acting according to their own whims, they cannot attain perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Tasmach. Then next Krishna says, Tasmach Chastra Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vivastita Gyat Va Shastra Pradhano Tam Karya Kartam Ihahasi. Therefore, one should know what is proper behavior and what is not according to Shastra Vidhi. Knowing what is in Shastra, what is the Shastric directions. One should act in this world so that he may gradually be elevated. So all this is interrelated. What is here in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, what is in the 16th chapter, how we should act, general principles of how we should act so as to be elevated, as to be freed from bondage. And if we don't know this, then necessarily we're going to be degraded. So how much important it is to understand the principles of Shastra, which Krishna has indicated in the beginning of this chapter, and in the, again coming back to the subject about parampara, in the verse previous to the one on which this lecture is based, evam gyatva kritam karma purvair api mumukshabihi. Kuru karma eva tasma tung purvaif purvataram kritam. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. How are we to understand how to practically apply Shastra in our lives? We have to see how the great acharyas have done so, how great personalities have done so. Great personalities, how do they do so? According to the instructions of their acharyas. So it's a chain parampara. And everything is based on Shastra. So the system is quite clear to understand. Everything is given in Shastra. That should be followed. Keeping in mind, clearly, what is the goal? Now Krishna gives many, many guidelines here in Bhagavad Gita and so much in Bhagavatam and in all the writings of the acharyas. They give us many guidelines, detailed guidelines, because the basic principle that Krishna speaks is very simple. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Always think of me and become my devotee. And then the actions which are to be performed to help us to cultivate that mood, they are stated in a general way in Bhagavad Gita and in some more detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these guidelines are there. Basically, the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple, but we tend to find it difficult. Why is that? Well, because we're difficult. What Krishna is saying to most people is a very, very great demand. Sarvadhaman, paritaja, mameikam sharanam raja. It's a very, very great demand. It may seem to us all almost impossible to follow. But if we can follow, if we can practically apply that in our lives, then we achieve siddhi, sukh, paramgati, perfection, happiness, and the supreme destination. But our tendency is to, in the conditioned state, our tendency is to, those who are trying to be Krishna conscious, they tend to oscillate between devotional service and maya. But there's no real meeting point of devotional service and maya. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhaka Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Adhika. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Darkness means the absence of light. So we can say that, so where there is Krishna, there is no question of Maya. So we can say there are grey areas. There's pure light and there's darkness. And we can say there's shadow. But even the shadow, if it's not pure light, then the shadow means maya. Ritertam yat patiyeta na patiyeta chatmani. How does that go next? The last line I was looking for. Yathabhaso yathatamaha. Tadvidyo atmanomayam. Yathabhaso yathatamaha. Krishna says that anything that is conceived of outside a relationship with me, that is called maya. And he says it's like the reflection within the darkness. So some light may be there, but unless the clear light is there of Krishna consciousness, that's called mixed. Maybe some light, but not pure sunlight. Some light, but not sunlight. So then that is called karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, which is collectively described as vitta bhakti or crippled. It's not really bhakti. And even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes as even that bhakti which is aimed at going to Vaikuntha to serve the Lord there, he also considers that vitta bhakti, because the mood of spontaneous service to Krishna is not there. So pure devotional service, shuddha bhakti, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana kama dhyanavritam, anukulyena krishna anushilam bhakti rutama. Pure devotional service, the cultivation of that which is favorable for Krishna's pleasure. Everything should be done for Krishna's pleasure without any desire for personal enjoyment, either through karma on the gross sensual platform or jnana on the mental or intellectual platform. That is described as pure devotional service. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, sometimes it's misunderstood that Krishna is describing karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti, and you can choose whichever you like. Well, you can. But only pure devotional service. Nothing else is recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, because nothing else is actually auspicious for the jiva. Anything that causes us to maintain attachment to anything but Krishna consciousness is inauspicious, because any attachment means that will bind us to this material world. Now, Krishna, as described here, just previous to this, pragmatically, for the sake of the conditioned souls, has designed the Vanashram system, Charto Vanyam, Maya Srishtam. I have made this, Krishna says, this system of four Vanas and four Ashrams, a system by which the Baddha Jiva can gradually be purified. Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuma Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanya Tatto Shakaranam. For the ordinary person within the Varnashram, working within the Varnashram system, worshipping Vishnu, for doing everything for his satisfaction, that is required for gradual elevation. Because it's difficult. Krishna is recognizing it's difficult for most conditioned souls to give up all their attachments immediately. Not that it's laudable to maintain attachments, but it's just pragmatic to understand that that's most conditioned souls, even those who are coming to Krishna consciousness, are also very much attached to this, everything the material world has to offer. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rai Ramananda to describe sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? So Rai Ramananda's first proposition was this, to follow the Varnashram system. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, eho bhadya, this is external. Now that doesn't mean that it's absolutely wrong. It is, after all, given in Shastra. But following the Varnashram system is not in and of itself the perfection of life. It's supposed to help us develop towards the perfection of life. And even in the course of giving various propositions, Rai Ramananda, first of all, he spoke of working within the Varnashram system, Karma Yoga. Then he spoke of Karma Vishra Bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Ehobhaya. Then he spoke of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, devotional service mixed with the endeavor to understand everything through intellectual achievement, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this as external. Then Rai Ramananda offered Jnana Shunya Bhakti, Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, that you give up all other dharmas and surrender to me. Jnana Shunya Bhakti, without the endeavor, no admixture, bhakti without any admixture of Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Eho Bhaya, which Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita says, that now I will speak to you, my paramam vachaha, my topmost instruction, surrender to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is also external. Why is that? Krishna's topmost instruction is external. Prabhupada explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions begin where Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita end. Krishna brings us to the point of surrender to him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach Krishna praying, love of Krishna. So surrender to him for the sake of getting freed from sinful reactions and invoking his protection. This is not on the platform of love. Of course, just previous to this, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna had said, Manmana bhava man bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskar, mame vaishasi satyante pradijane priyosi. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. In this way you will come to me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches love beyond surrender. There's more. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. We were just singing. Dhana jana ara kavita sundari. Valibo na chan. Deha shukrakar. That nothing for ourselves. That no desire for anything. Only janme janme dao. Ohe gaura hari. Ahoy tuki bhakti. Charane toma. That, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have prayed like this. That I don't want anything of this material world. Just give me pure devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed to Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us to pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like this. To only desire bhakti for bhakti's sake. Not bhakti mixed with karma, not bhakti mixed with jnana, and not bhakti not mixed with jnana, but also without the strong desire to satisfy Krishna. Krishna says, you think of me, become my devotee, I'll look after you, I'll bring you to me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not satisfied with this. Prahlad Maharaj, Savaivanik, that who executes devotional service for some personal gain, he's like a merchant. We don't want to be like this. We want to execute devotional service only for Krishna's pleasure. This is the dharma of the jiva. To live and act only for Krishna's pleasure. Now, because in material existence our consciousness is 180 degrees, completely turned the other way. We're thinking of our self-interest in terms of dhan, jan, sundari, and everything else that we could conceive of for our own sense gratification. Therefore, the Vedic literature of, okay, karma kanda, do some yagyas, go to the heavenly planets, and at least formally, it means not here formally in the sense of ceremoniously, something like that. The worship of Vishnu must be there in yagya. So there's some kind of beginning of worship of Vishnu, some regulation. But that is not actually pleasing to Krishna. Pleasing to Krishna. What is pleasing to Krishna is when the jiva acts only for Krishna's pleasure. But for the jiva, he cannot even begin to understand this. It's so far away from his consciousness. The other night, two nights ago in New York City, we sang this kirtan, this Shuddha Bhakata Charana Reno Bhajana Onukula. And I said, how am I going to explain this to New Yorkers? That you have, in bhakti you have to take the dust of the lotus feet of devotees and place it on your head. I say, even New Yorkers, they're used to everything unusual. But this is something so unusual they cannot even begin to understand it. Because whatever unusual things they might do, everything is aimed at sense gratification. But this is a concept which is It's so foreign to them that it's not understandable how we should take the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. Mahiyasham pada rajobhishekam. We should bathe ourselves in the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. They say, some not New Yorkers, more Southerners, that to bathe yourself in the blood of Jesus, which sounds very macabre actually. But we say to bathe or smear oneself with the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. So It's so far away. The conditioned soul, Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Siddho ham balavan suki, I am perfect, powerful and happy. So this ultra humility of smearing one's body with the dust of the lotus feet of devotees, that is not imaginable. The concept is beyond anything that a materialistic person can begin to conceive of. Therefore, make a start. Alright, do this karma. Do this karma. Follow this karma kanda. It's cheating, actually. It's cheating religion. It's meant to cheat, to bring people to somehow or other come to the Vedic path. That you want sense enjoyment? You can get it better by following the Vedic path. So somehow or other bring people to the Vedic path. But ultimately they have to understand. Vaidaischa sarve ahameva vedyah. All the Vedas are meant for coming to Krishna. And everything we do, dharma svenashtita pungsang vishvaksena kathasu yaha nutpadiyad yadi ritim shrama evi kevalam. Whatever dharmas, karmas we may follow, if we don't gain attraction for hearing about Krishna, if we don't develop pure devotional service, then it's shrama evi kevalam. We can say, well, I worked hard. That's all. That's all the benefit we... The karma kanda, for me, we don't really get that much more benefit between punya karma and papa karma. There's actually not that much difference. You say, well, there's a lot of difference. If you follow punya karma, you go to heaven and enjoy. If you do papa karma, you go to hell. But both of them are useless. One is more painfully useless, and the other is just as, maybe even it's more bewildering going to heaven. In hell one is simply suffering, and in heaven one is suffering, actually is suffering also. It's just like, you see, two people are being beaten with sticks on their back, and one is drinking a mango lassi. So, who's in a better situation? Both are in an undesirable position. So in the heavenly planets, they're also suffering, but they have mango lassis also, and a few other perks. Yeah. But what is the suffering? We say janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha dosha anudashna. We say means Krishna says, these are the sufferings of material existence. But this telling us that, oh, you have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. This preaching is for fools. We're all fools in the material world. That we think, oh, I'll have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. I'll have to go to hell. How bad. But we don't realize, that's not actually the suffering. The suffering is not birth, death, old age, and disease. The suffering is that we're separated from Krishna. But we don't realize that. That everything is suffering. We so foolishly think that going to the heavenly planets or going to America, that is better. Why be in India? Go to America. You can earn more money and enjoy better. But it's without Krishna. It's first class, five-star hell or three-star hell or whatever. It's just, without Krishna, we're simply suffering. Everything is useless. Nothing. The whole world, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that shunyayatam jagat sarvam, the whole world is empty, govinda virahin, without Krishna. This is the suffering. But because we think that Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, Krishna is warning us, hey, you don't follow this, you don't follow, you're going to suffer birth, death, old age and disease, you're going to have to go to hell. They say, oh, that's really bad. Then I can't enjoy myself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching to come to Krishna consciousness on the platform of love. But because we're a long way from that, we have to follow Shastra Vidhi and hear from pure devotees and understand what is our real benefit? Many religious teachers have come, and mostly they don't teach us what is for our actual benefit. Maybe for different reasons they don't teach. Because to the conditioned soul, what is his actual nature? What is the message which is for his real benefit? To him it sounds strange and threatening. People feel threatened. They say, don't proselytize. Don't tell us. Don't tell us to do all these things. They feel threatened. My sense gratification is threatened. They feel afraid. What is this? So mostly religious teachers, they teach something compromised, halfway or quarter way, or 1% of the way, or something. And don't eat meat on Fridays. That Catholic upbringing, you can eat fish. Don't eat meat. So some restriction. They maintain, in the Catholic Church, they maintain some restrictions. Not many. Don't eat meat on Fridays. This is from my childhood, I know this. You can eat fish. They maintain. So, but just some idea, but people... People like this idea that we will serve God. We don't really know who He is, and we don't really want to know who He is, and we don't have any information of who He is, or what He wants of us, because we think that God is some cosmic daddy in the sky who fulfills our needs for sense gratification. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Don't know what that means. Never mind about that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, this is the most important line. Give us this day our daily bread and butter and money and TV and cars and house and bank balance. God. Who is God? Don't know, don't need to know. Praise be to the Lord. And we believe in God. And if you don't believe in Him, you go to hell. And we're going to heaven. We all go to heaven. And what will we do in heaven as the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Reverend something, Runcie, I think his name was, must have died a few years ago. This was quite a long time ago. He was asked, the head of the Protestant, the Church of England and all its affiliated churches all over the world, was asked, what do you want to do when you go to heaven? They presumed he was going to heaven. And he presumed also. He was wrong. We can understand from Shastra. He was wrong. But he said, I will spend the first 100 years glorifying God. And then I will spend the rest of eternity enjoying myself. This is the world's probably second biggest religious leader after the Pope. What is it? You know, all these years I've been a holy man, but then I'll enjoy myself. I'll go to Las Vegas in the sky. And then I take off my collar, throw it away, and have fun like everyone else. All those things I wanted to do. I'm more smart than all those people who went to Las Vegas, because they'll all go to hell. But I serve God all my life, and now I can go to Las Vegas forever. I don't know what they're thinking. They're not thinking. Not thinking. They have no knowledge. How to act in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. Anyway, the point I'm making is that generally people like to accept cheating religion. It cheats them because it gives them some kind of moral principles or belief in some very vaguely defined God. So if God is vaguely divine, then you can't make a clear commitment to Him. And this religion is promoted for fulfilling your sense desires. So they like that, because Ishvara, I'm a humbogi, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. So God is my partner in crime. He's my chief partner in crime. He will help me to fulfill my sense desires. So generally people like, they like this, so that we can say this is something better than being wholly away from any kind of religious principle. but the actual dharma of the jiva, and that which will actually satisfy him, is when he stops thinking of how I will be satisfied and thinks to act in a way by which Krishna will be satisfied. Not thinks, but he accepts the path given by the previous acharyas and given by the shastras, how to act in a manner that will be fully pleasing to Krishna. Now, even to understand the message of the acharyas or the great saints of the past, that requires some sincerity to accept it, because generally, after any great saint comes, people twist his message for their own sense gratification. They put his picture on the wall and they say salam, or whatever language it is, and do whatever they like in his name. So we see that's the history. Christianity. Jesus said, you cannot love God and love mammon. Mammon means material sense enjoyment. But the Protestant ethic is God helps those who help themselves. It's a complete reversal of what Krishna said, Jesus said, Christo. So it's like that we see also. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many upper sampradayas came out. And also different acharyas, they may adjust their teachings according to the need of those around him. Just like Jesus is recorded as having said, we don't really know what Jesus said because it's not a very good parampara. The Bible, even, it's not very reliable as to what Jesus actually said. But he's recorded as having said, there are many things I have to tell you, but you cannot understand. Even Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya. Now Krishna says, I will teach you my topmost instruction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ehobat. This is external. There's more. So how to understand actually? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guha. Krishna is recommending follow the path of the previous great personalities, but he also says, King karma kima karma iti kaviopi atra mohitaha. Even great learned persons of the past, even they may be bewildered. So what hope is there for us? The hope is dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, that the eternal truth of religious principles is maintained in the hearts of actually self-realized persons. Therefore, mahajano yena gata sapanta, we should follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. But that requires our sincerity to accept that. It may also be in some cases that, just like Jesus, he knew more than he taught, but he taught actually more. He taught at a very basic level. That even that was more than most people around him were ready to accept. They killed him. It was too revolutionary for them. Very, very primary religious principles, but it wasn't acceptable to them. They weren't ready even for that little he gave. They weren't ready to accept it. So sometimes acharyas may do so. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave so much wonderful transcendental knowledge. His writings are, I'm looking for the word, but there isn't one, indescribable, how he has given pure devotional service. But some of the things he recommended, his followers generally took that as being the ultimate truth when he was only giving them some intermediary truths. Just like he was recommending that, as is stated in Shastra also, that if one can take initiation from a, if one finds guru in a Brahmana family who's Vaishnav, you can take initiation from him rather than one born in a non-Brahmana family. So, so like this, he made various. This stated in Shastra, but this is not adhyatmic upadesh, because birth in a particular family, we can say that's samajik or vyavaharik, that's social or customary, that's according to social customs, we can say, which most people are very attached to. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seeing that, he gave such instructions. For certain persons, that may be required for them. It may be very difficult for them to accept the fully adhyatmic or spiritual upadesh or teachings. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he, in the revival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, took it to another level of speaking the holy, unadulterated truth. Not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur adulterated it, but he made some concessions for those of his basically neophyte followers. So he benefited them in this way. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, that many of his followers, they consider that they know his instructions very well. Some of them could recite his whole works verbatim, but they didn't understand a word, because they didn't understand what is the essence of his teachings. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is a most important acharya in our sampradaya. Every acharya means important. But specifically, he gave this Dharma Kaitava Projita Atra Paramo Niyamat Saranam Satam. He was this principle. He lived this principle of speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he spoke that the only duty of sadhus is to speak the truth in the most unequivocal and understandable manner, without consideration of time, place, and circumstance. Now, generally, sadhus, they may speak according to time, place, and circumstance, just to catch the attention of people and bring them closer to the right path. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, we have to give what is actually the highest path that will actually be beneficial for the jivas. So he was very, very strict. But by following him, people could get the highest benefit. He didn't think that any kind of compromise with Maya was acceptable. He didn't say, all right, you do this, you do that. All right, that's okay. No, he didn't accept that. Come up to the highest level. You come with me. You follow. So this actually is unless we understand this, then even if we're not able to act on the highest level, we should know what that is. But the tendency is to, our tendency is to take something at an intermediate level and consider this to be the highest, because we don't like to admit that I'm not on the highest platform. But then what happens is we get stuck in midair, like Trishanku. We're thinking, well, yes, I've done so well, I've gone so high, but we don't really achieve the topmost goal of life. So we should know actually what is the topmost goal of life and how to achieve that, how to act in such a way that we can achieve that, is the general principle we should understand. If we don't understand that, then we can't actually achieve the topmost goal of life, which is pure love of Krishna, free from any endeavor for improvement by any other method, because there is no other method. Krishna consciousness or pure devotion to Krishna without any taint of anything else, that is the only auspicious path for the jiva. It seems, for us who are incarcerated in this material existence, this seems to be extreme, fanatical, because we think that this is reality and Krishna consciousness is some adjustment on reality. But no, this is not real. Krishna consciousness is reality, and everything else that we might be involved in is not reality. So it requires a complete change of consciousness to understand this. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
Marj, in the beginning you were speaking how Krishna said yad-yat va moksha-sheshu, that if you know this, you'll become liberated.
Mm.
And thus the path is that you should follow the acharyas. The other day I was talking with one devotee, and I was saying, well, my preference is that to wear Vaishnav Vesh, because this is Vaishnav clothing, and that means that there's a certain consciousness that goes with it. And this devotee was saying, well, you have to be practical in this, and they went on and on. And one time I said, well, when I'm most of the time, unless I have to work, I'm going to wear Vaishnav Vesh. And he says, I said, well, because this is what Prabhupada did. He says, well, you're not Prabhupada. And... well, I had some arguments, but I wanted to hear what you would have said, because otherwise it seems to me that if you have this mentality, then you could basically write off anything you do.
Right, right. If you say you want, we have to know what is anusharan and what is anukaran, what is following and what is imitating. In this regard, there's a very interesting article that was written some 70 years ago or more in the Gaudiya, the magazine of the Gaudiya Math at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The article's name I'm not remembering now. But anyway, it addressed this topic of anusharan and anukaran. Now, many so-called Vaishnavas in Bengal, where the Gaudiya was published in Bengali, they like to chant Hare Krishna, but they also like to eat fish. So you could say to them, you're supposed to be following Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu didn't eat fish. I say, well, that was Mahaprabhu. He's so great. How can we follow? And then you may see them wailing and falling on the ground in apparent ecstasy of love of Krishna. And you may say to them, well, actually, you see, this is the highest level. You shouldn't try to imitate that. And they'll say, well, Mahaprabhu did that. So we should know what are the behavior, activities and consciousness of the pure devotee that are characteristic, that characterize him as being a pure devotee, which are not possible for the aspiring devotee and should not be imitated. And which of those activities he performs to set the ideal example that we should follow. So we should know this. Gaura bhakta priya vesha dadhamana tilak tulasimala shobhamana bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will show the dress which is very dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be decorated with tilak and tulasimala. So this Prabhupada also said, you can also be Krishna conscious in suit and tie. So it's not 100% necessary to wear these clothes. But certainly it is more favorable because it, as you say, the consciousness goes with it. These clothes are very, this dress is very dear to the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we don't like, I spoke on this again two nights ago in New York, the culture, Krishna conscious culture is the culture of the spiritual world. It prepares us to go to the spiritual world. If we're attached to wearing Levi jeans, then we can't go to the spiritual world because they're not worn there. So the food, the clothing, the manner of behavior, the motive for behavior, the Krishna conscious training on this plane is to train us to be ready to go there. So this Krishna conscious culture is the culture of the spiritual world. It prepares us to enter the spiritual world. So it's very helpful to adopt these cultural practices. Anything else? Any other question?
You said that after the Acharya is leaving, many people with their ulterior motives, they serve their own purposes. You know, they hang his picture on the wall and they do their own things.
Mm.
We have the example of Christianity, but isn't also there a possibility, you know, with Srila Prabhupada's movement?
Possibility? What do you mean possibility? It's going on. Fully.
Yeah, I didn't want to be so outspoken.
It's inevitable. Yes, yes. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.